This is Hacker Public Radio, episode 3821, from Monday, the 27th of March, 2023. Today's show is entitled, The Oh No News. It is hosted by some guy on the internet and is about 13 minutes long. It carries a clean flag. The summary is, Oh No News is good news.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Hacker Public Radio. I'm your host, some guy on the internet, also known as Scotty, and this is the Oh No News.
Oh no!
GoDaddy, the web hosting provider, suffers multiple attacks from an advanced persistent threat.
In March of 2020, a phishing attack on an employee resulted in the compromised login credentials to other employees and approximately 28,000 GoDaddy customers. In November of 2021, attackers stole GoDaddy's source code and data related to approximately 1.2 million GoDaddy customers by using compromised credentials, including website admin credentials, SFTP credentials, and private SSL keys.
Oh no!
In December of 2022, attackers accessed GoDaddy's cPanel hosting servers, installed malware that redirected some customer websites to malicious sites. In short, if you're a GoDaddy customer, you need to start finding some new web hosting services. For our next story,
Chick-fil-A data breach.
Chick-fil-A suffered a data breach. It involved the membership numbers, mobile pay numbers, QR codes, last four digits of credit and debit card numbers, credits on Chick-fil-A accounts, birthdays, phone numbers, and any addresses you may have had on file. So if you're a Chick-fil-A customer and you use their apps or anything like that to order your food, you want to go ahead and edit your account, change your password, and possibly remove as much of that data from there as you can. Do the same thing for any other restaurant apps and accounts you may use. For our next article,
a new ChatGPT phishing scam for eager investors.
This is just an email-based scam, and it's targeting people who are looking to invest in, well, crypto or the ChatGPT. This type of phishing scam is targeting basically your name, your date of birth, address, any kind of payment information you're willing to hand over, phone number, contact information like email addresses and things like that, any financial information you're going to provide, and I believe specifically WhatsApp credentials. I believe that's how they keep in communication with you once the scam begins. So yeah, if you're interested in playing with ChatGPT, just be careful. They're launching new scams surrounding it. For our next article,
Bitwarden flaw can let hackers steal passwords using iframes.
A group known as Flashpoint has discovered a weakness in the password manager Bitwarden. But to be fair, it sounds like any password manager can fall for this type of flaw. Quote,
while the embedded iframe does not have access to any content in the parent page, it can wait for input to the login form and forward the entered credentials to a remote server without further user interaction.
Close quote. So the iframe is an HTML object, and here's a little bit of information I dug up from Wikipedia. An iframe, also known as an inline frame, places another HTML document in a frame. Unlike an object element, an iframe can be the target frame for links defined by other elements, and it can be selected by the user agent as the focus for printing, viewing its source, and so on. Flashpoint points out that if you're using Bitwarden with the autofill feature turned on, Bitwarden will simply fill the fields on the page. Now, if the page was compromised by attackers, the attackers would embed these hidden iframes, and Bitwarden will fill the attacker's fields as well as the legitimate ones. So when the user submits their credentials to the legitimate site, it would also submit the credentials to the attacker. And that's what it boils down to. That's why I'm including any password manager in this, because anyone that uses the autofill feature would allow attackers to also gain access to your credentials by these hidden iframes. So long story short, don't use autofill. I know it's a very convenient thing to have, where as soon as you load a page, your password manager, if you're logged in, would automatically fill the fields on the page. If you avoid using that feature, which Bitwarden has disabled by default, you have nothing to worry about. Just manually fill the fields that you can see by, you know, copying your password and your username and pasting them into the correct field. You're fine. Nothing to worry about. I'd also like to include this quick little note. I just thought about it, that this may be more of an accessibility feature. So I understand those who may use this for a benefit, such as being visually impaired. Having an automatic feature like this would be helpful. But for now, if you can navigate the page using tabs to get to your credential fields and enter your credentials manually using keyboard shortcuts and tabs, that would be a lot safer for you, even though it might be slightly more inconvenient. A final quote from Flashpoint.
This means an attacker hosting a phishing page under a subdomain that matches the stored login for the given base domain will capture the credentials upon the victim visiting the page with autofill enabled.
Close quote. For our next story,
LastPass security incident update and recommended actions.
Attackers targeted one of four DevOps engineers with access to the decryption keys needed to access LastPass production cloud storage services. Quote,
this was accomplished by targeting the DevOps engineer's home computer and exploiting a vulnerable third-party media software package, which enabled remote code execution capability and allowing the threat actor to implement keylogger malware. The threat actor was able to capture the employee's master password as it was entered after the employee authenticated with multi-factor authentication and gain access to the DevOps engineer's LastPass corporate vault.
Close quote. The attackers then exported corporate vault entries and shared folders, which contained encrypted secured notes with access to decryption keys needed to access the AWS S3 LastPass production backups, other cloud-based storage resources, and some related critical database backups. Yikes. All right, the summary here, folks, I wouldn't tell you to just switch away from something that you're comfortable with, but if you're using LastPass, it's starting to seem as though it's very difficult for them to get from underneath this attack. So I believe it's best for you, the user, to move on to a different password manager while LastPass figures out what's happening with their systems. It's not just because of the attack why I'm offering this information to you, this suggestion. Because eventually all of these companies, LastPass and any other password managers, you know, they'll all eventually face an advanced persistent threat. And when you have such a threat on you, it's only a matter of time. My advice to move comes because of the policies that LastPass seem to either have a lack of or a lack of enforcement. It sounds as though the DevOps engineer was using a personal computer instead of a corporate computer to manage all of these secrets. And with a personal computer hosting, I mean, there's no telling where he was getting his software, or he or she, where this engineer was getting their software from. Not pointing any fingers at any particular package managing system or distribution. However, when you're working with the keys to everyone's kingdom, there should definitely be a division in the hardware as well as the software. And that was not the case here. So until LastPass can prove that they've gotten their act together policy and procedurally, I believe it is safer for you, the user, to simply move away from this password manager. Here are some options for you. You don't have to select these, but just options that you can look at in the time being. You can try KeePass XE, Bitwarden, or any of the other open source options that are available to you. Also, you're going to definitely want to go through each of your accounts that you store in LastPass and begin changing all of your passwords for those accounts, as well as updating your multi-factor authentication. Any accounts without multi-factor authentication, you definitely want to enable it. Let's switch over to user space.
FlatHub has got big plans for 2023.
I've been keeping an eye on the FlatHub, checking out the new beta, and man, they've got some wonderful features coming up. I want you to keep in mind that all of this is just projections, what they're hoping to add. They're planning to add direct uploads, verified apps, a payment support system for the FlatHub website. Now, right now, the GNOME Foundation is sort of managing the whole thing. And that's a problem for them because of the way the GNOME Foundation is structured. So part of the plan is to establish an independent legal entity to own and operate the FlatHub. Quote,
"So far, the GNOME Foundation has acted as an incubator and legal host for FlatHub. Even though it is not purely a GNOME product or initiative, distributing software to end users along with processing and forwarding payments and donations also has a different legal profile in terms of risk exposure and nonprofit compliance than the current activities of the GNOME Foundation. Consequently, we plan to establish an independent legal entity in order to operate the FlatHub, which reduces risk to the GNOME Foundation. This better reflects the independent and cross-desktop interest of FlatHub and provides flexibility in the future should we need to change the structure. We're currently in the process of reviewing legal advice to ensure we have the right structure in place before moving forward."
Close quote. The plan is also to raise $250,000 in funding and sponsorships. The Endless Network provided a $100,000 grant toward the infrastructure, legal, and operation costs of running the FlatHub. In the next round of funding and development, hiring a second full-time staff member in addition to, and I don't want to butcher the name here, there's a name in there, I think I can say the last name, Piotrowski, sorry if I got that wrong, to handle inquiries, reviews, documentation, and partner outreach. The plan will also include establishing governance to oversee the project and start a FlatHub focus group for feedback from devs. Now, I also want to talk security just for a moment here. I got a quote for you.
"For FlatHub to succeed, we need to make sure that as we grow, we continue to be the platform that can give users confidence in the quality and security of the apps we offer. At that end, we are planning to set up infrastructure to help ensure developers are shipping the best products they possibly can to users. For example, we'd like to set up automated linting and security scanning on the FlatHub backend to help developers avoid bad practices, unnecessary sandboxing permissions, outdated dependencies, etc., and to keep users informed and as secure as possible."
Close quote. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this concludes another episode of the Oh No News.
Oh no!
Let me know what you think about the show notes and everything. I'm playing around with different formats, trying to provide you the most information and not draw out certain articles too long. So the format's constantly being massaged. I'd like to see your comments. Maybe do a show as a response, or hit me up over in Matrix. I'm also on Mastodon. Thank you guys for coming by HPR. Good day.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. Today's show was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hosting for HPR has been kindly provided by anhonesthost.com, the Internet Archive, and rsync.net. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International License.